Thank you, Peter. This morning, we're going to think about John 21 and think about the difficulties when approaching the subject of forgiveness. And we're going to look at how Jesus and Peter provide an example for giving and receiving forgiveness. Do you find it hard to forgive or to ask for forgiveness? What makes it so difficult? Is it pride? Is it good intentions that go wrong? Is it dislike of individuals? If you've ever needed to ask for forgiveness, or if you've ever needed to truly forgive and did nothing, how did you feel the next day? How did you feel 1 week on? 1 month on? 1 year on? Several years on? A lifetime on? Do you ask for or receive forgiveness in a superficial way? Mere words, but where you still harbour resentment in your heart? Yes, I forgive you. You know, that sort of thing. Do you use weasel words? I have two examples from my work career where one, I'd written a letter and it was strong. Well, I didn't think it was that strong, but it was strong. And the mother of all explosions happened at the other end, and emails and letters flew, and I was faced with Horrorsville. And I had a really wise elderly boss that I thought the world of, and I was explaining to him what had happened and it had all going wrong, and he said, David, I've looked at it. He said, you started it. You need to finish it. And so the phone call went like this. I had no intention of causing offence. I apologise if I caused offence, and that was my way out. But they were weasel words. I wasn't really apologising, was I? I was saying, I apologise if I caused offence, and it was weasel words. It was superficial, and that was over 20 years ago, and I often reflect upon that. Another example, you must think I spend a lot of my time in conflict at work. A major conflict. If I said that the legal costs alone were heading for £1 million, you can see the scale of what we were trying to deal with. And a colleague and I had spent a miserable day in lawyers' offices in London. We'd been with QC. We'd actually spent time in chambers with counsel. Cost. Anyway, that by the by. At the end of the day, I was sitting with my colleague and we were just wrung dry. And I suddenly said to Bob, somebody needs to say sorry here. And he said, you're right. And when you boiled it down, it was as simple as that. It was as simple as that. Forgiveness was needed. Somebody needed to say sorry. They never did. That by the by. And you know, those situations were mere worldly situations. Not within Christian circles. Within Christian circles it's much more serious, because of John 13:35, where by the love that we show for each other, the world will know that we're disciples. And people will know that God is the true God. Those other situations I was talking about were mere worldly situations, far more serious in the Christian life. And forgiveness remains a big issue within churches. The devil loves it when our pride gets in the way. Forgiveness is ultimately about relationships. If God sent his only Son to die for us, to be reconciled to him, surely we should take note of that example, not let our petty issues be the source of our division. And here endeth the introduction. So let's look at John chapter 21, which is a game of two halves, a chapter of two quite distinct sections. But of course the background to the first 14 verses in particular, or the whole chapter, is when Peter denied the Lord. I'm just going to read those verses from Luke, where Jesus is speaking to Simon. He says, Simon, Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you've turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the cock crows today, you'll deny three times that you know me. Then, seizing Jesus, they led him away, took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. But when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, This man was with him. But he denied it. Woman, I don't know him, he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, You also are one of them. Man, I'm not, Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, Certainly this fellow was with him, for he's a Galilean. In other words, he had a northern accent, and they recognized that. He said things like, hey, up, fit-like, and, you know, all that sort of thing. Peter replied, Man, I don't know what you're talking about. Just as he was speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. When the cock crows today, you'll be three times. He went outside, and he wept bitterly. And after that, Peter sees the soldiers mocking Jesus. He sees Jesus taken before Pilate and Herod. He sees him crucified. He sees him die. He sees him buried. And then the resurrection happens. And Jesus starts appearing to people. And wonderfully, he appeared twice to the disciples, all the disciples together, except for Thomas on the first one, and he was there on the second time. And Peter would have been there, and I wonder how Peter felt. You see, he was with a group. He didn't have time for one-to-one interaction with Jesus. I wonder if he was hiding at the back, sort of cowering behind, because he knew that there was a barrier between him and the Lord, because he had disowned the Lord. I wonder where he stood with all the disciples on that occasion. I doubt if he had, on those two occasions, the opportunity for that time with Jesus, for it to be put right. And when we get to John 21, we see it's the first opportunity for that one-to-one relationship between Jesus and Thomas, and Jesus and Peter. So there is Peter with the disciples. Come on, boys, let's go fishing. Out they go, all night they're fishing, and nothing. And then there's a man on the shore who they don't recognize, shouts to them, throw it to the other side, throw it to the other side, which they do, and an enormous haul of fish. And just at that point, John, oi, Peter, look, it's Jesus. Now, Peter immediately puts his coat on, jumps overboard, and starts heading for shore. Now, the significance of the putting the coat on is that because if a Jew wanted to give a greeting, and that was a religious act, he had to be fully clothed. So when Peter put his coat on, or he got himself fully clothed, that meant that he was going to give Jesus a greeting, which was a religious act. It was an intent. Oh, right, here's my opportunity. I'm going to spend some time with Jesus. It's going to be a religious act. I'm going to put my coat on. And over there he went and he swam to shore. Now, we don't know what went on between the two of them. It's not recorded. But we know that Jesus was alone. We know that Peter went ashore and spent time with Jesus. And I believe in that time there was some interaction between the two where Peter was able to say, Lord, I got that wrong. And then there's a shout from the boat, Oi! We've got a lot of fish here. So Peter goes and he helps them pull it ashore. And when the disciples get ashore, there's a fire, there's fish cooking, and together they eat the fish together. Now then we come to this period of these verses in John 21, verse 15. When they'd finished eating, Jesus looks at Simon Peter. Remember, they've already spent some time together. And Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Now, what was Jesus looking at? Was he looking at the fish, the boat, the nets, the life that Peter had been living. Was he saying, Peter, do you love me more than all of this? Or was he saying, do you love me more than all these people? We don't know the answer to that. But Peter says simply, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And the response is, feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And the response is, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? At this point, Peter is upset. Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep. What's the significance of what's going on here? I believe there's something very profound about forgiveness in these verses. You see, we think of, oh look, forgive me, yes I forgive you, and that's the end of it. No, Jesus is far more concerned. Jesus is far more concerned with depth. Sure, Peter, I forgive you. Look, that's not the issue, Peter. You made a mistake. You denied me three times. You're forgiven. I'm far more interested in whether you love me. I'm far more interested in the relationship that we've got with each other. Sure, words are nice. Yeah, Peter, I forgive you. Get over it. What really matters is, do you love me? What really matters is our relationship. And once I've established that you love me, then I'm going to give you a job to do. Do you remember Gordon Brown's phrase, a sphere of service? We had a series in church recently, our role in church. Everybody has a sphere of service, something they can be doing for the Lord. What Jesus is saying here, Peter, you're forgiven. Okay, three times you disowned me, and three times I've asked if you love me. Peter, our relationship is re-established. That's what forgiveness is about, re-establishing the relationship. And now that's in place, Peter, I've got a job for you to do. He referred to it in Luke, actually, in the verses that we read. Before Peter had disowned him, Jesus says, I've prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and when you've turned back, strengthen your brothers. Jesus is saying to Peter, even then, got a job for you, Peter. It's about strengthening your brothers. You know, some of the disciples had different jobs. Think of Paul, great missionary evangelist, brave, surviving storms, shipwrecks, being bitten by adders, putting in prison, all sorts of things, going from church to church to church, setting up churches, correcting churches, writing letters, all that energy and dynamism. It's amazing. That was his role. Think of John. Later on it talks about John's role. John was to be a witness. John was to testify. John had great things to write down. John was to live a long age. So when people in later years started to doubt and say, did these things really happen? John was the one who could say, I was there. Jesus talks about that later on in this passage. But Peter, you're forgiven. Our relationship is established and re-established. Peter, I've got a job for you. It's a pastoral job. Feeding my lambs, feeding my sheep, taking care of the flock. Notice, lambs, the young ones, sheep, the older ones, taking care of the flock. Peter, that's your task. Upon this rock, I will build my church. If we're not putting things right, if we're not seeking forgiveness, if we're not offering forgiveness, then this situation will get in the way of the Lord's work. It will hinder our sphere of service. And the work of establishing the kingdom of God within people will suffer. Reflect upon the areas of your lives where we need to ask forgiveness from the Lord. In the sure knowledge that he'll forgive, and he'll go further and build you up, and restore your relationship with him, and re-establish your role in furthering his kingdom here on earth. reflect upon where we may need to ask for forgiveness from one another, from other Christians. This may go back a long way. Do you need to be like Peter and jump in the sea fully clothed? In other words, do you need to take action? As Peter got dressed and jumped in the sea, do we need to be in that right frame of mind and take action and do something about it? I've spoken almost exclusively about forgiveness from the Lord. Many people may be thinking, well, actually, what's really difficult is forgiving other people. And I suppose I'm simply saying this, that unless we've got that bit right, those bits are going to be really difficult and they're not going to be solved. Unless we've got ourselves right with God and have re-established that relationship with Him and got our sphere of service, forgiveness for others is going to be a much more difficult thing to achieve. If we feel we've been wronged and are owed an apology, that's a difficult one. Are we in the right frame of mind to forgive? If we've been wronged, what can we do? Well, we simply pray about the action to be taken. Make sure, don't fuss so much about that, make sure that your relationship with God is right. Focus on Jesus. Ask for the help of the Holy Spirit to do that, to ensure that you're right with God. You can do no more. If you feel you've been wrong, don't keep topping it up. I've got a situation that I remember in my family where a difficult letter was written. It should never have been written, but that letter was kept on the mantelpiece to be read on a weekly basis to keep it topped up. And I plead, oh, burn it, please, burn it. If you feel you've been wronged, don't keep topping it up. Take it to the Lord, let it go. And in the right time and the right place, there'll be an opportunity for that relationship to be re-established. How do I conclude? Number one, if you need to ask for forgiveness from the Lord or from another Christian, pray, ask for guidance, ask for an opportunity, pray that pride would be banished, and do a Peter, jump in, make the first move. Two, let the forgiveness not be superficial. Let the forgiveness be about re-establishing relationships. Let it be about showing love for each other. Because it's by this the world will know that we're His disciples. Three, build upon the process in doing God's work, in furthering the sphere of service that God has for you. Bitterness and resentment are negative things that waste time and emotion. As Christians, there are solutions shown here in the example of Peter and Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, teach us, forgive us for the times when we failed you in these areas. Lord, help us remember that you want our relationship with you to be one where we do love you. And we're sorry for the times that we've let you down. But we thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your desire that our relationship with you is just where it should be. And Lord, we thank you that you give us a job for you to do in this world. Help nothing to get in the way of that. Lord, we bring these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close by singing.